Welcome to Botches Off-Road Solo Edition. This is your host, Gavin. I'm going solo today. We had an episode, and long story short, I guess we've been really lucky to have made it this far without any issues, and we've been kind of coming across issues. So I accidentally recorded in a higher bit rate on the last episode, and our tempos were off, so actually impossible to get all of our tracks to sync while in edit mode. So I am going to do an episode on back to kind of the basics. There are a lot of different styles and a lot of different ways to plan for overlanding, and I just kind of want to go through my version because, I mean, Alex's version might be very different from me. I'm a big planner. I like to plan, I like to have a plan, and I like to be in control of said plan. I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to use ChatGPT to help me plan this. So obviously the first thing that you want to do when you're planning a trip is to know where you're going to go. So for instance, I will use the UP again, because that's the easiest place. I know it. One, you want to know where you want to go. So I want to go to the UP. What section do I want to go? So I'm going to check out Google Maps, look at attractions, and I'll go to Google Maps and then I'll look at the attractions around the area. I'll pick something within my time frame, within my days off. So let's say I have 3 days off. I'm probably going to stay to the east side of the UP. That way it gives me plenty of time to see those couple of things and still enjoy. If I'm going to have closer to a week off and I really want to check some things off the list, maybe I will extend that area and go west a little bit. So when I'm planning that, I really want to know where I want to go, how many days I'm going to be gone, and then we'll start from there, right? So are we going to be remote? Are we going to try and do scenic routes? Are we going to do technical off-road areas? So that's important to know. And you can kind of check that out when you lock down those key places that you know you want to go. So for instance, let's say I want to go up and I want to see Whitefish Point in the UP. I want to see the Sioux Locks. I want to see Grand Marias, Tequamanon Falls, Chris Point, and Two Hearted. Those are just kind of the ones on the top of my head. So if I wanted to do that and I knew I was going to have 4 days to do it, if I left on Thursday, I have Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday would be my way back. So this is kind of my trip planning process, but I'm going to try and use ChatGPT to help me. And I'm going to talk it through with you guys to see if any of this really aligns with how I plan. And maybe is ChatGPT a good tool to help you kind of get to a spot to where you can do it on your own? Or maybe you can use it in the future to help you narrow things down or think of things that you didn't know of. So the first one is, you know, define your purpose and scope, which I just kind of talked about. And of course, the third point on that one is to check season weather. So yeah, I mean, if you're going to go in the UP in the middle of winter, a lot of those trails are going to be non-doable for any vehicle really, except a snowmobile. They're also going to be closed because of snowmobile trails. So a lot of the times in the winter, trails become snowmobile trails and you're not allowed to drive on them because they're groomed. It's a danger for those guys. So you really want to check in the season. Bugs and heat, they all play a time too. So there are certain times in the year where the bugs are really heavy. There's a certain time of the year, obviously, where the heat is really hot. I like to go into the UP in the beginning of summer and in the fallish, July, August, around that. Just because it's kind of cooling down a little bit. It's not smoldering hot. In the UP, it's never super smoldering hot. You're usually by a lake, like Superior or something like that, so you always have a good breeze, but it can get pretty warm, and you just want to be ready for that. So you want to be ready for storms. You want to be ready for any kind of inclement weather, and of course, any kind of issues that may happen while you're up there, because cell service is such a premium in some of these areas. So we'll start with choose your route. So you want to research your trails. once you have your places, you know, tracked down, let's say Two Hearted's got a lot of trails to get to it. So you want to kind of plan those out. Don't use Google Maps, for any of the trail side of it. I like to use a mix between Google Maps and Onyx. Some people like Gaia. I use that if I really need a backup, but I like Onyx. It's really user-friendly. I can do all my routes from there. So I like to use Google Maps to get to the area. And then I like to use Onyx to navigate that certain trail area. So I already have the area I want planned out, which is the Two Hearted area. And I know that I'm not going to have cell service. So I'm actually going to download every trail in that area. So with Onyx, you can actually download the trails to use offline so that while you're off, you have a detailed trail picture of where you're at or where you're supposed to be. And that's going to be very useful for you. Obviously, paper maps help too, but Onyx, you can always kind of tell where you're at. So that's super useful. And then you're going to want to look at the terrain. Onyx can also help with this a little bit. Obviously, some research like Facebook groups asking how the terrain was last month. But I have been up there before, so I kind of know the terrain. It's usually just kind of sandy in that area. So I know it's going to be like that thicker beach sand, couple inches thick, maybe some washboard, some dusty dirt, nothing too crazy, nothing too hard. So I know that I'm going to need to air down. I know that there's going to be some dirt roads. There's not going to be any rocky passes. There might be some water crossing, but not severe enough, in the area that I'm going. Now there is a trail to Whitefish Point that used to be really bad for a water crossing, but I think since then they actually, dozed it and cleared that up. So we're good there. So once you have your area and the trail that you want to do, I always like to plan at least one alternative route. So you have your one trail that you think is going to work. If you haven't ever been up there, or you don't know the area very well, you have your one ideal trail that you want to use that's going to get you to point A to point B. And then I always like to have an alternative trail in case there's a blockage or there's something that goes wrong. So I just like to know what trails are where. I want to know if this trail is inaccessible or I come across something I just cannot get across or past, then I have another trail as a backup. Okay. And then you want to mark out fuel points. So in Onyx, I cross-reference with Google Maps, find the fuel points on Google Maps, tag the location using the coordinates, and then I take those coordinates, move them to Onyx, and then tag the fuel stops on Onyx with a fuel indicator, the little icon. So that way I know while I'm driving, if I zoom out a little bit, I could tell where each fuel stop is around me. And that is very useful if you're out there for a day or two and you're just trailing and you're getting close to the end. You're like, man, am I going to be able to make it to this next fuel stop? You can actually zoom out, check. Okay, yep, I got one in 14 some miles. We're good. Because they do get pretty scarce out there. Third, you're going to want to go and look at vehicle prep. You want to make sure your maintenance, your tires, recovery gear, and weight management is all good. So maintenance, obviously, your oils need to be topped off, changed, and checked. Your fluids need to be topped, your antifreeze, window cleaning fluid, power steering, transmission. Obviously, you don't top off some of these, but you want to make sure that they're okay. If you can and you have the time, and you haven't checked in a while, check your diff fluid, I guess, if you're running diesel. Check your tires, make sure that you have good tread, there's no holes or any kind of cracking on it. Make sure that they are properly aired up for the long highway drive. I actually have a small leak in, I think, a valve stem or my rim, one of the seals. So I always check my PSI to make sure that all tires are at the same PSI, because I did one time do a road trip, didn't check. And my one tire, by the time I got to where I was going, was at like 15, 20 PSI. So that can affect a few things, how your truck sits, how it affects the tread. And I'm assuming it affects your fuel mileage too. So Make sure you have all your recovery gear that you need. Do pre-checks before you leave. That's very, very important. I make a list, and this is something that you can help with, ChatGPT can help you with. Ask them to make a list of pre-checks that you can do for your vehicle before you overland. So I'm going to go to ChatGPT now, and let's just see what it tells me. So I'm going to ask, make a pre-trip checklist for my overland trip. Okay, so vehicle prep, yep. Fluids, engine oil, coolant, brake fluid, transmission fluid, power steering fluid, windshield and washer fluid. Then it wants you to check belts and hoses. Check for wearing and cracking. That's perfect. Battery, check your terminals, your charge level, and check your spare battery if you have one, like the house battery. Perfect. Tires, pressure, exactly. Including the spare, that's a good point. My spare is actually flat. If I didn't have a compressor, I would want to make sure that was aired up before I left. So that's nice. Tread depth and no visible damage. Make sure you have your tools with you, your jack, your lug wrench, tire repair kits, and air compressor. So making sure you have sidewall repair kits. I actually don't have one right now, so I'm kind of the evil guy on this one. But I want to get one. I have regular tire repair kit. I just don't have sidewall repair kits. Make sure you have your recovery gear. Check your recovery gear too. So check your tow straps, your shackles, traction boards, shovel, winch. Check your winch cable. Make sure your winch cable isn't fused together. Unleash some of that rope off of there, like loosen the winch, pull the line in. Make sure everything is still working before you go out there. If you go out there, you get in a situation where you're stuck and you're like, well, I have a winch, no big deal. You go to start your winch controller's dead, or your cable is so frayed and dry rotted that it's broke because you're not maintaining it, then that's going to cause you issues down the road. So make sure you're checking all this before you actually go to avoid any kind of issues, because that's easily avoidable. It takes 5 minutes. And you really should be using your winch here and there anyway, just to make sure that everything's working, keep yourself familiar with it, etc. You want to check your lights, make sure headlights, taillights, turn signals, and auxiliary lights work. I've actually had to where one of my auxiliary lights stopped working, and I had to fix it on the trail. It wasn't a big issue, but if I would have addressed that the day before when I do pre-checks, I could have had that done, and it would have took time out of my relaxing. You know, it would have gave me more of that relaxing time. So I instead used it to fix the light. Check your skid plates for loose belts or leaks, or loose bolts or leaks. Always check for loose bolts. Rattle anything that typically shouldn't rattle. You know, your wheels, check your wheels. Make your skid plates are tightened. Make sure all your pulleys are tight. Things that should be bolted down and tight. Just try to move everything. Try to rattle it. I actually, Alex had an issue with this where he was doing, I think, third gen weekend, and he had some stuff rattle off. So it's definitely something that you're going to want to check. So then you go into your tools and spare parts. You want to make sure you have your basic hand tools. You want wrenches, sockets, screwdrivers, pliers. You're going to want spare fuses, bulbs, belts, hoses, and any kind of parts that frequently break on your vehicle. You can use ChatGPT to figure that out. You can also look in forums to see what are regularly damaged parts. For anything running a CV axle, CV axles are always useful to have. Maybe some spare brake line and a flare kit, stuff like that. Make sure you have some extra fluids on you, some extra oil, coolant, brake fluid, power steering fluid. And if you're like me, power steering fluid and transmission fluid are the same thing. For my vehicle, so that'll be fine for me. Make sure you have the basics, duct tape, zip ties, and electrical tape. Everybody needs those. I've used those multiple times on the trail. Multimeter for electrical issues, very good for diagnostics to see what's working and what's not. If you don't know how to use one of those, pick up a cheap one on Amazon, watch a YouTube video, get a feel for it. And it's pretty easy after that. And then you want to check and make sure you have camping gear. Make sure you have your tent. It can be whatever kind of you want to do, a tent, an awning, or a rooftop tent kind of deal. Just make sure you have something to sleep in, whether it's your truck or a tent or a hammock. Make sure you have a sleeping pad, sleeping bag, something like that. Make sure you have a pillow. A pillow is like the thing I forget the most. Now I take my house pillows. I'm looking to eventually change that to something more compact, but I really like having a house pillow, like a big pillow. So make sure you have your camp chairs and a table if you want a table. Camp chairs are really nice to have. Make sure you have your camp stove and always, always, always check your fuel before you go. I've been on a couple trips where other people have ran out of fuel during the camp trip. Thankfully, everybody else is there, but it would be a pain to run out of fuel while you're cooking like they did on the last trip. And thankfully, someone had a propane tank, but otherwise, then you'd have to start a fire. Then you'd have to move everything to a fire. And sometimes people's pans aren't really made for over-the-fire cooking. I mean, they can be used for it, but, you know, sometimes it's just not what they're made for. So check your cooking stove and fuel. Cookware, make sure. I always keep my cookware in my truck until a week before I leave, and then I bring it all inside. I wash it, dry it, and then bring it right back out and store it back in the truck. I just want to make sure I get a good clean on them before I go back. Same thing with like your plates, cups, cutlery. I always check my fridge. So I empty my fridge out after I leave or after I come back. I wipe it down, get all the condensation out of it. And then again, a week before, because I do this in stages. So a week before, a couple days before, I take bleach, spray, Clorox wipe, spray the whole inside of it, soak it, open the drain plug on the bottom of the fridge just to get any kind of smell, any kind of bacteria that might have been from the leaky chicken I might have had to a can of pop that might have exploded. You know, just want to make sure everything's cleaned out of there for the next time I put food in. Because sometimes I do put like a banana or an apple in there and I don't have like a plastic bag over it. So I just want to make sure the surface is cleaned. I also do that with the cutting board in my truck as well. Make sure you have trash bags. We use trash bags not only for trash, but for waste, soil waste, poop. So just making sure you have those. And to add on to that, make sure they're not like menthol flavored. I know that seems funny, but Alex recently had an issue to where he bought trash bags that were mint scented. And while he was pooping, it felt like he had Icy Hot on his butthole. So yeah, fun fact. I guess he didn't like that. I really think that would have been very refreshing, like a boudet in the woods, but apparently not refreshing. So make sure that you get something that isn't scented like mint. We try to use some kind of scented because it kind of helps keep some of the smell down. And then make sure you have your food and water. You know, judging by how long you're going to be out, your water consumption also is dictated by the season. But I usually start with 3 gallons of water. And the way that I do it is I don't have another water tank. I am actually going to get one. It's another 3 gallon tank. But if you're going to be out for 6 days, 3 gallons shouldn't last you that long. It should take you. I go through about 3 gallons a day. And that's, I'm sorry, 3 gallons a day, 3 gallons in 3 days. And that's probably less than you really should. I don't use it to wash dishes all the time. I use it to refill our water bottles only. And to drink from, or to put a little bit on the pan to help clean it. But if you use it a lot, like to wash dishes or you want to try to shower, you need to make sure that you carry plenty of water and try to stay away from like disposable water bottles because that's like just a fucking waste. So make sure you have some non-perishable foods. Always really good. Tips and tricks for cheap non-perishable camp foods. They make like super easy dried rice in a bag. They make $1 potatoes in a bag. They make $1 mac and cheese. Just things that if you're more on a budget, like ramen, mac and cheese, canned vegetables, they tend to help you out. You're getting some sides with your main dish that aren't going to cost you an arm and a leg. Now, if you have the money to grab fresh potatoes and fresh green beans and all that, and you have the time to cook it, sweet. But sometimes we don't really have the time to do an extravagant dinner. And when my son's hungry, he's hungry. So I try to make things go as quick as possible. So make sure you have your non-perishable food. Make sure you have the fresh food and try to use that within the first couple days. Unless you have a way to keep it cool throughout. Make sure you have your full coffee and tea set up. I keep my French press out there. I bring my coffee beans inside and put them in the freezer when I'm done with them. And then when I come back out, they go back into the fridge for camping so that I can freshly grind them. And they always stay fresh. seasonings, get your seasonings out there, cooking oil, condiments. The only thing that actually comes inside is the condiments. I don't have space to keep them, and I don't have the fridge. I'm just going to keep the fridge on to keep them cold. They'll go back into the door, and then I'm ready for them. I usually grab a grocery bag and throw all of my condiments, butter, coffee, and the fresh food that I'm going to take and bring it out to the fridge and store it. So moving away from that, we're going to go to navigation, communication. So we're going to move past communication, really, because we're going to practice this as a solo. You want paper maps for the area. A lot of like visitor centers have some paper maps of each area that you'll be in. Make sure you have one of those. It's always really good to have an atlas. And then make sure you have your GPS or a Garmin. Not like an InReach. An InReach would be nice too if you're solo, but like your the Garmin satellite tracking navigation, that kind of thing. I use my phone. I use Onyx. I have a subscription through there, and I save the maps and download them and use that and cross-reference with Gaia and Maps, depending on where I'm at. So make sure that you have your trip itinerary or your trip plan shared with someone that you know who is going to care enough to check in on you if you don't make a peep in a few days. So we share our trip plans with our dad, and if anything happens and he doesn't hear from us, he doesn't get a text every so now and then, he'll ask if we're okay. And if not, he can give that trip itinerary to someone who can go and track us and make sure we're okay. So moving on from that, we have safety and first aid. You want a first aid kit, always, at the very least, a first aid kit. It doesn't matter. You want something that's band-aids, disinfectant, wraps, gauze, depending on who you're talking to, splints, tourniquets, IFAC, stuff like that. That's very important. And if you don't know how to use it, you need to watch videos and you need to practice using it before you go. You need a basic understanding of how to stop someone's bleeding, where to apply the tourniquet, how hard to apply the tourniquet, when to pack a wound, and when not to pack a wound. I know the basics. I took some first aid when I was a volunteer firefighter. I've also done a lot of research on YouTube to try to learn how to do this, but I'm going to be taking classes soon to get re-CPR certified, child CPR certified, and I'm going to try to get first aid, go through a first aid class to be able to handle like trauma first aid, something like that. That's on my list. So you never want to be solo and not be able to get a handle on a situation. This is a pride thing, but as a man, I want to make sure that if my family gets hurt or put in danger, I want to make sure that it's handled, and I want to make sure that I handle it. So if something happens to where my wife gets hurt or my son gets hurt, I want to make sure that I have the training to keep them safe or to keep them from dying. It's kind of like dark, but it happens. Like, accidents happen. Like, unfortunately, we just had a horrible loss with Toyota World Runners who just tragically passed away. They were my age. You know, it was an accident that happened. And honestly, there probably wasn't much that they could have done on that one. But if I was ever come across a similar situation to where, let's say, I just lost control driving down a trail and we hit a tree or something. If something like that happened, my wife had uncontrollable bleeding in her leg. I need to know how to apply that tourniquet, because that makes the difference between whether she might live or she might die. And that's up to me. That's my responsibility. So making sure that you're trained and you know how to use that first aid, because it really can become a life and death thing. And then to kind of pair with the first aid, if you know the area that you're going into, make sure you know the dangers of the natural area around you. So that doesn't just mean animals, that actually means plants. Make sure you know what the berries are. Make sure you know what plants are poisonous. Of course, make sure you know what animals travel the area. Are there bears? What kind of bears? Black bears and brown bears act differently. So black bears are kind of scared of you, to be honest. So they're not super big of worry, whereas brown bears are a little bit more territorial, and they have been known to be a little bit more aggressive towards humans. And then you have like snakes, of course. Make sure you know snakes. Michigan has a Mosaka rattler. They're typically in swampland areas. You want to make sure that you know what's there. You want to know how to spot it. You want to make sure you know what it looks like. That way you can describe it when you're bit. Same thing with spiders. Like the only ones we have in Michigan natively are the brown recluse and the black widow. The black widow is less dangerous. It's also known to dry bite, and it's not known to kill humans unless there's already something going on typically. But the brown recluse actually like to, I don't know how to, eats the poison, like eats at your skin. So it's something that you want to watch. Make sure you know what kind of, like, if you're allergic to bees, make sure you're paying attention to the bees in the area, obviously. Stuff like that. Moving on from safety and first aid, because this is just all stuff that you should know. You want personal gear, so you want to make sure you have weather-appropriate clothing. Depending on the area that you're in, you want to make sure you're dressing for that area. If you know it's going to be cold, you need to make sure you layer so you don't oversweat. Make sure you carry the right amount of clothing and be honest about how much you're going to change. You know, at the end of the day, you're still camping. If I was leaving for 7 days and I brought 14 pairs of clothing, like full pairs of clothing, I'd be lying to myself if I said that I was going to be changing twice a day. You know what I'm saying? I'd be lying to myself if I said I was going to be changing 7 times a day if I was out for 7 days. I'll change my underwear, I'll change my socks, but my pants are going to be for 3 days, if more. My shorts will be for 3 days, if more. Honestly, I'll wear my shorts until they're so dirty or smelly that I can't wear them. And that's just the honest truth. Like, you don't need a lot of clothes out there. You are camping. You are overlanding. Like, if you want to go to a nice restaurant, make sure you have a nice pair of clothes to go into. But make sure when you're out in camp, like, those are camp clothes. Like, you're supposed to be out there in the middle of nowhere. No one cares what you look like when you're out there. That's kind of a beauty of it. So I typically, in the summer, I'll pack one pair of socks. Because I don't wear socks. And the only reason I pack the socks is because if it gets cold, I just want an extra layer over my feet because I'm wearing sandals. So it's just kind of think about where you're at. Lake Superior is kind of fun and tricky in that way. I have a sweatshirt that I pack, and then I have regular size pants, and then I have tall socks for the colder days. My wife, she has a couple of those, because she tends to get colder more often. I only need one pair, long pants, long sweatshirt, and long socks, just to last through that. And that's all I need. The rest of it's summer clothing, right? So just make sure you do your research. And then, of course, if it's supposed to rain, make sure you have your rain jacket, this and that. Make sure you have sunglasses, extra contacts, stuff like that. Make sure you bring toiletries, toilet paper, the little toilet packs that you put in the bag, wet wipes. We're actually going from paper towel. We're going to switch fully to the cheap Walmart wet wipes because you can get way more for cheaper and they clean you better. And you can use them to actually just clean your body instead, doing little wipey baths, as they say. So we're going to actually switch from toilet paper too, because also if toilet paper gets wet, it's ruined. If wet wipes get wet, they're already wet. So not a big deal. Something you can keep in your little pop-up bathroom. If it rains and they get wet, no big deal. They were there that way before. So personal documents, IDs, permits, insurance, obviously make sure you have all that on you. And then final checks before departure, fill fuel tank, extra jerry cans, load gear securely, evenly, and organized. So if you know that your first night you're going to be grabbing your tent, try to make sure that's at the top of the pile, not the bottom, right? So pack it away in the order that you're going to be taking it out first. So if you're not going to be touching your clothes till you get everything put away, maybe you put your clothes towards the bottom. If you know you're going to be doing your tent first when you get out, obviously, so you put your tent at the top, sleeping bags under that, pads along with it, and you have your air mattress blower or whatever that right there next to it. So all you have to do is throw all that out there and you're good to go. So check brakes, check your steering, check for weather and road conditions, like I said, notify someone over your route, like I said, and lock up your home and secure your valuables. And if you carry a firearm, make sure that's locked away and secured properly on your persons. So So that was a pre-check trip checklist for an overland trip. And that was something that ChatGPT actually just gave me. So that is, I mean, that's very informative. That really fills in a lot of the holes that you might need. So, preparing for an overland trip too, you go in here and you look, they want to make sure that you have a lot of the same thing, like water filtration. That's something I didn't mention earlier, but water filtration is really nice when you don't have a clean water source nearby, like a hose. So what I do is I get potable water from state campgrounds. So when 3 days or so go up and I'm starting to get low on water, we'll take a quick trip to a state campground. We'll get rid of garbage. We will use the restroom if they have restroom facilities. We will refill all of our waters in all of our water bottles and our water tank. And, you know, we'll just get kind of refreshed for the next couple days and we'll go. If they have showers, we pay for a shower. Then, you know, you make sure that you have all that. Filtration's nice because you can use the stream water and you can filter that and make sure you have nice potable drinking water. So that is nice. Making sure you have headlamps, camp batteries, stuff like that, check-in plans, permits, and doing a shakedown trip about a week before you go is nice too. Doesn't have to be a camping trip, just drive it, take some trails, make sure everything's not rattly and everything's good to go. I do that a lot too. And then make sure you're flexible. Like, it's always good to plan overlanding trips, and like I do, and I've talked about, I'm very thorough when I plan. My checklist is very large when I plan. I like to have everything. I do not like to go unprepared. But when you get up there, things happen. And I like to have a plan until I get up there, kind of, is what. So I like to know where I want to go. But I am also okay with not doing it, too. Like, so if I wanted to, like I was saying earlier, I wanted to do Sulox, Whitefish Point, Two Hearted, Crisp Point, and Grand Marias. If I wasn't going to be able to make it all the way over to Grand Marias, and I was only going to be able to do Two Hearted, Whitefish Point, and Crisp, and then you just be okay with it. You have more trips that you can do in the future, and honestly, it's not that big of a deal. If you spend more time, that really means you were enjoying it more. So, you know, take that with what you will. Now, if you were to ask Alex on his trip planning, he might be very, very different on this, and Mark as well. But I do like to have a good plan. I like to be very in control of the situation. I hate being out of control. But yeah, there is a time when I'm out there camping where I can let go a little bit and go, hey, remember, we're supposed to be enjoying this. So here, that's a really quick, fast rundown on some of the stuff that you need when you're doing that. And if ChatGPT can't help you, and honestly, there's not much here that I wouldn't, recommend. So, use it to help give you a basis of idea, copy and paste it onto a list, like a checklist, and then add whatever other stuff that you need to check. But this is really good. Both of them are really good. So overlanding, so what the prompts that I actually put in were, how should I plan an overlanding trip? And then on the other thing is, what do I need to start overlanding? So a lot of those kind of coincide, but some of them are a little bit different. Like the how do I start overlanding helps you with what vehicles are typically used, the tires typically used. You want to make sure you have good recovery points and basic maintenance done. So using ChatGPT absolutely can help you. I asked on another prompt to make a pre-trip checklist for my overlanding trip. And they gave me a massive checklist that was all sorted by area that I might actually use this in the future. It's well organized. I can copy and paste this onto my checklist app, like Notes app. And then I can add other things that I want for just my checklist prep. And then that is a checklist that you can reuse, actually. So on my Notes app, it's a checklist that I can check on and check off. So as I'm doing this as a pre-trip before I go, I could check all this off. And then the next time I go out, I can just redo the same thing. I think I'm done. I've been talking a lot. Been trying to bust out an episode and just kind of help get one out. So thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. AI, how to use AI to help with your overlanding. So Hey, thanks for listening.